1 John chapter 1, verse number 5, and that is our theme tonight, light and darkness, light and darkness. And it's amazing that Brother Tejada chose that song, not having no idea, me having no idea, but we've a story to tell. Go back and look at some of those lyrics, and we've a story to tell, Psalm 101, and boom, it's just exactly what we're talking about. Praise the Lord for it. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John is written to believers. Just a reminder, okay? 1 John is written to believers. And let's pray and get into these verses. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we've been able to be a part of. From that very first prayer and then getting into that first hymn of being on the solid rock. Timely song, a timely song for us this week here in BC. You are our rock. You are our anchor. Thank you. We can stand on you, whether it's storming literally or it's storming spiritually. And we have had both, and we'll have more. But thank you that you're our rock. And then we have a story to tell and these letters and all that we can be involved in here at Anchor Baptist Church. And now I pray that you'd give us your Holy Spirit, that you would empty me of self and all of us of self and be filled with your Spirit, that we might gain everything from these verses, we could squeeze it out, get a little bit more out of these. Some are very familiar verses. Others might be a little bit interesting as we consider them. We pray, Lord, that your will would be accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so fellowship with God. That's something that we've been talking about the last several weeks in thinking about this book of 1 John. It is one of the key points of 1 John is our fellowship, not just with God, but with one another. And we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But remember, my fellowship with God is not based on my terms, but my fellowship with God is based on his terms. And these are his terms here as we see in this book tonight. Only the saved can have fellowship with God. Only the saved. So fellowship follows salvation. You cannot fellowship with God unless you're born again of the Spirit of God. It's impossible. Verse number 5 tells us right away about the character and the nature of God. Okay? Here's the message that we have heard of him. So John is writing and he's saying, here's the message that we've heard of God. Here it is. And we're telling it to you. God is light. God is light. So he has absolutely no darkness. He only has light. What does this light mean? It means pure. It means holy. It means true. It means reliable. The opposite of light is obviously darkness. Okay, what does darkness mean in this verse? It means evil and sinful. When you think about God, there is nothing evil in God. There is nothing sinful in God. It's all pure. It's all holy. First Peter, I believe, chapter number 1, be holy for I am holy. And that's what he calls us to do. So since God is light, he is our only guide to lead us out of darkness. Okay? So we have been led out of darkness by light. And we can even look at this, and it's a very practical illustration, isn't it? You know, you could be in a very dark room, but if your eyes can focus and find any little bit of light, any glimmer of light, we're drawn to that. And it pulls us literally out of darkness, any kind of just a crack or whatever. And so God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We who were born in sin, we'll talk about that in a little bit. And so because of his light, we are drawn out of this dark world in which we live. But when you think of light also represents truth. Light is a revealer. You know what it's like when the light, when the light shines? You know, we've talked about this before. When the sun shines in, like we had the last couple of days, it reveals things. Well, that's what light does. It reveals whether something is good or it reveals whether something is bad in the sense of a spiritual. But also light literally reveals whether something is clean or whether something is not clean. You can say, yeah, that's a really clean window. But when the light is shining in it, we're going to see if it's a really clean window. So when we look at our lives, we might say, yes, I'm living a clean life, but how are you determining whether your life is a clean life or not? Some people say, well, I'm living a clean life because I'm not living like this person. Wait a minute, that's not our guide. I'm not doing this, so I'm doing okay. No, our guide is the light. We want to measure up to the light. And when we get the light measuring up, we might see, oh boy, there's a lot of smudges over there. I got to get those off of there. And so light reveals. It represents truth. We compare some activity to truth, not to another activity. I think I just mentioned that. So it's not wise to determine whether or not what I'm doing in, whether or not what I'm involved in is something I should be involved in because someone else isn't involved in it. You know what I'm saying? I think maybe I confused myself there. In other words, we're not to be comparing ourselves among ourselves. We're supposed to compare ourselves to the light. Okay? Now, if I'm living in darkness, now as a Christian, you can live in darkness. It doesn't mean you're not saved. We have that old nature that's still with us. So if I'm living in darkness, so think about it tonight. All of a sudden, we cut out all the lights in here. We wouldn't be able to discern much, would we? If we're living in darkness, we aren't going to be able to tell whether something is good or evil. We don't read our Bibles, we're not going to be a very good discerner of what's right or wrong. Some can say, well, I have no problem watching this television program, but are you living in the darkness or are you living in the light? See, if we're living in the light, these eyes right here are not going to see things the way I want them to be. They're going to see things the way God sees them. It's kind of hard to say, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing if I'm living in darkness. I need to live in the light. So when a Christian is not living in the Word of God, and instead they are living in a worldly lifestyle, they are going to have a very difficult time discerning whether what they are doing is right or wrong. That's why it's very hard sometimes to convince someone, do you realize what you're doing is wrong? They may look at it exactly like, just look at it straight on and say, I don't see anything wrong with it. You know why sometimes we don't see anything wrong with it? It's because we're not living in the light as we ought to be. This book is the light. God is the light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Okay? Now, on the opposite of that, when we are in the light, then we can see more clearly. When the lights are on, we can see everything in here tonight. If the lights were off, we would have no idea what is in the way. See, when we're living in darkness, the devil puts a lot of things in the way. He's the master deceiver. He's the master tripper-upper. I know that's not a word. For tonight, it's only. But we can overcome him by living in the light. So John says, hey, I'm declaring something to you, Christian. Live in the light. Live in the light. In him is no darkness at all. Now, the material, as all material life and growth depend on light. Whether it's artificial light or sunlight, you got to have light to have growth. So all spiritual life and growth depend on God. We get saved by the grace of God. We grow by the grace of God. See, God didn't save me to stay the same size, if we're going to call it size, okay? God didn't save me to stay the same size all my life. God saved me to grow. How am I going to grow? Same way I got saved. By the grace of God. Why? Because He's light. He allows growth. He gives growth. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. So as I'm walking in the light, I am not only to walk in it for my own spiritual growth, but I am to walk in the light and then reflect that light. So I'm growing, and while I'm growing, I'm also reflecting that light, because around me, there are lost people who are not only living in darkness right now, but they're going to be in eternal darkness. You realize hell is dark. How is hell dark? Because God's not there. God is light. The opposite of light is darkness. I guess they say that the hottest flames are dark, some people have discovered. So don't think, oh, if hell's got fire in it, it's going to be all lit up like a candle. I don't know about that. I don't think so. I think God's not going to be there. I personally believe it's going to be dark. And so while we have the opportunity, it behooves us to walk in the light. But look what it says in Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 14. Jesus said, ye are the what? The light. You're the light. How am I the light? Because I'm in Christ. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How many of you know that one? Yeah, this is where it's from. Hide it under a bushel. No. Verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. No, don't do that. But on a candlestick. And what happens? It giveth light. So you and I are walking on our day, and we're supposed to get up in the morning, and we're supposed to get into the Bible, and we're supposed to pray, and we're supposed to be praising the Lord and maybe singing a song to Him and maybe doing it in private where nobody hears us sing, you know. We don't want to scare anybody right away in the morning. But in the shower, we're singing away, and we're in the light. And then why? Because we're not staying home, and maybe we're going to the store, we're going to work, we're going to school, and we don't want to hide the light. So we're living in the light, not just for our own growth, but we're living in the light because Jesus said, you want to put your light on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light. How do we have any light? It's only from God. So when we come to God, we leave darkness and we enter into His light. So it's His light shining through me. But if I'm living worldly, then my light is being put under a bushel. It's not shining as it ought to be. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So once we are saved, and we are to be doing good works. They see my good works. They see the works that God allows me to do. They see my light, which was given to me by God. It's not my light, but it's been given to me. And so why would I want to hide the light that God's given to me? And glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So light, verse 5 of our text. Before you go back to our text, stop off at John 3. Stop off at John 3, the gospel according to John. Light exposes things, doesn't it? We've said that already. We talked about that. Exposes dirt. But it also exposes sin, but also light illuminates good. Look at verse 19 of this very familiar passage. And this is the condemnation that what? Light is come into the world. And men loved, past tense, darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong, right? In the flesh, even now, we don't like to be told that. It's good when somebody tells us we're wrong. It's good when we're willing to humble ourselves and read in the Bible and we find out, yeah, man, I was wrong. But he that do, and it's why man is trying to just completely eliminate God. Because if you can eliminate God, there is no God, and I can live however I want. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest and be made known, that they are wrought in God. They are created in God. I don't do anything good of myself, because there is in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. But if I let God work in me, he is light. He works all things together for good, but he works in me good works. So verse number 5 is talking about the light there in the darkness. Let's go to verse 6. Verse 6 of our text. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Genuine faith always results in a changed life and good works. Always. That's where I had Ephesians 2:10 in my notes, but you can jot it down there. We had it, we used it already, but you know. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. We're going to come right back to 1 John in just a minute, but this is a passage that some of you, I'm sure, are well aware of and got it down here. Genuine faith will result always results in a changed life and good works. Again, good works don't come before faith, they come after faith. We don't get saved by good works, we get saved by grace through faith. That's 8 and 9, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But verse 10 is right there, don't take it out because it's there. And so that's important. But look what it says in Paul wrote in verse 14 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, there it is, there's the word. That's the word. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? They don't exist at the same time. Right now we have light in this room. You can't have light and darkness at the same time. Verse number, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's just really asking the same question over and over again. Different ways of looking at it. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So over and over again, how can we have righteousness and unrighteousness? How can we have light and darkness at the same time? We cannot have those. They do not coexist. This is not to say that we will always do right. Okay, we still have that old man in us. So let's go back to that phrase, walk in darkness in verse 6. Let's go back to that phrase, okay? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, then we lie and do not the truth. What does this walk in darkness mean? It means a continual lifestyle or a pattern of living. It does not mean an occasional lapse. So we can be saved and not in fellowship with God. But we cannot have fellowship with God unless we are saved. Oh, let me say that again. We can be saved and not in fellowship with God. Because if I'm walking in darkness and God is light, I can't have fellowship with him if I'm walking in darkness. This is not saying that that you lose your salvation. It's you lose your fellowship. It's also John reminding and correcting a doctrinal error in this day and age was that you could live sinlessly. After you get saved, you could live sinless. That's the first John, again, is written to Christians. So imagine this statement. If we say that we have fellowship, then walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Oh, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin. So just set that aside. But walk in darkness is a continual lifestyle or a pattern of living. Sin always affects fellowship. If I am truly saved, my walking in darkness will always be temporary. It will always be temporary. Now, notice what it does not say. Okay, in verse 5, it says that God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. But it doesn't say in there that there's no darkness in me. We still have that fleshly nature that is in us, and if we don't, if we're not filled with the Spirit, then we're capable of walking in darkness. And that's what Satan wants to do. Why? Because when I'm walking in darkness, my light is hid. And when my light is hid, no one can see my good works, and no one will glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's why, number one, Satan wants you and I to never read God's Word as a Christian. We don't need to read the Bible anymore. We're already saved. Why do we need to read the Bible? Because we need food. Of course we need to read the Bible. That's the lie of the devil, isn't it? But isn't he good at giving us excuses for why we can't read the Bible? Well, just, you know, one day or 2 days or 3 days or four, you know, and you can listen to the preaching or whatever. No, you need your own Bible time. Don't buy the lie of the devil, because, again, the devil's objective for Christians is to get us off of the path of light and onto the path of darkness. Because then it ruins everything. It ruins everything that God saved me for that moment. It ruins everything of the purpose of why God saved me. He saved me to bring glory to him. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if I'm walking in darkness, I cannot give God the glory for that. So tonight, you might be walking in darkness in an area of your life. I want to encourage you to confess that. That's verse 9. We confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and get back into the walking in the light. So, that's verse 6. We cannot fellowship with God and walk in darkness at the same time. So we are lying if we say, yep, yeah, I'm right with God, but we never read his word. You know? I'm right with God, but I don't need to go to church. See, I don't know how anybody could think that if they know what the Bible says. There's no way you can be right with God and not go to church. Hello? I don't need to give any money to the church. They got enough money. This isn't a message on money or whatever. I'm just saying. We get into the Word of God, and we're going to know how to live the Christian life. And by the way, it's not bondage. Living the Christian life is freedom. We are free to walk in the light. We are free to say no to sin and say yes to the Spirit of God. We're free to do that. And God enables us to do that. So let's look at verse 7. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, that's what we want. As he is in the light. Yes, that's it. We have fellowship one with another. Oh, that's interesting. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Walk in the light. What does it mean to walk in the light? It means I'm not harboring sin. I'm not hiding sin. And I'm not resisting the Holy Spirit. When we're yielding to the Spirit, we're walking in the light. When we're resisting the Spirit, we're walking in darkness. It's really that simple, isn't it? You want to walk in the light? I want to walk in the light? Just say yes to the Spirit of God. That's all there is to it. The Christian life is described as walking. Okay, think about walking. All right? Walking. Walking implies activity, movement, going somewhere. The Christian life feeds upon contemplation. We have to think, right? That's part of the Christian life. We contemplate what we're reading and what we're studying, and we meditate on it. Praise the Lord. Those are important. But it displays itself in action. It's not just accumulating all of this information. It's taking that information and then putting it into practice. It's learning how to walk in the light. It's learning how to be that husband that God wants us to be, or that wife, or that teenager, or that senior saint, or that whoever it may be. It's learning that. Walking implies action, continuity, and progress. The worst thing you can do is get on a treadmill and say you're going somewhere, because you're going nowhere on a treadmill. treadmill. Meal? Yeah, I get on a treadmill. I want to have a meal on a treadmill. That's a tongue twister. Treadmills are good. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying you don't go anywhere. I'd rather walk around the block five times. At least I went somewhere and saw something, you know. But that's walking. Since God is active and walking, if I have fellowship with him, I will be active and walking. In other words, God's saying, hey, come with me. Let's go. I'm going somewhere. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, God picks us up out of the miry clay and sets our feet on the solid rock. And he says, hey, come with me. I'm light. Follow me. I'll lead you somewhere. If you have fellowship with him, we will be walking. We will be active. But notice what it leads to. If we walk in the light, John says, we'll have fellowship one with another. That's talking about us here tonight. Born-again believers. Two Christians, think about this. Two Christians who are not in proper fellowship with one another means one or both are not in fellowship with God. It's what it says. If I'm walking in the light, so if you got two people, you got Christian A and Christian B, and they're both walking in the light, guess what? They'll fellowship with one another. It'll be perfect. Why? Because you're both walking in the light. That's the way it ought to be. Two Christians who are in fellowship with God will be in fellowship with one another. It doesn't mean that we have to agree on everything to be in fellowship with one another, right? Two people are not going to think the same about everything. Praise God for that, by the way, that we're all unique. But God's people should not be fighting against God's people. The devil just sits back and says, yeah, just keep fighting the people that are on your team. Again, that doesn't mean that I agree with everything everybody does necessarily, even in the name of Christ. If they're preaching the gospel and they're standing for the truth of the Word of God, they may see things a little bit differently than I do. I don't have to go on a campaign against them. They're my brother. They're my sister. We're going to spend eternity together in heaven forever. But even boiling it down to the local church that we're a part of, you know, let's boil it down to Anchor Baptist Church. If we are in the light, then we'll have fellowship one with another. We'll get along with one another. I wrote this down. My horizontal fellowship will be blessed when my vertical fellowship is what it ought to be. And you can think about that in every area of life, by the way. Could be your family, could be whoever, okay? So think about that. Now, the last statement. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What does this mean? It means this. I am continually being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Continually. It is for, remember, this is for the Christian who's already saved. Spurgeon said this. Now, it's a long one, okay? I don't know if you're going to be able to write all this down if you're taking notes, but just listen to it. Maybe you'll get it. I'll get it twice, okay? Here's what Spurgeon said about this verse, this statement. Observe, here is nothing said about rites and ceremonies. In this verse, 1 John 1, 7. It does not begin by saying, and the waters of baptism, together with the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son cleanseth us. Not a word. Whether it shall be the sprinkling in infancy, or immersion of believers. Notice he doesn't say sprinkling of believers, because that's not in the Bible. He said sprinkling of infancy or the immersion of believers. I don't believe that he believed that. Nothing is said about it is the blood only, without a drop of baptismal water. Nothing is said about sacraments. What some call the blessed Eucharist is not dragged in here. It's not in that verse. Nothing about eating bread and drinking wine. It is the blood, nothing but the blood. Praise God that it still cleanseth us from all sin. Here's a verse to write down, John 1:29. I'm not going to turn there. Time. John 1:29. When we identify with Jesus Christ, he becomes death for us. For the wages of sin is death. So the only way to go to heaven is to identify with the one who was sinless, who died in our place. And when we identify with him, he becomes death for us. His sacrifice becomes mine. His sinless sacrifice becomes mine, not only right now, but for all eternity. That's why it says it cleanseth us from all sin, past, present, future. Romans 6:4. Here's a good verse. I'll read it to you. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, this word sin right here is referring to the sin nature of man. There were some in this day who taught that you were born in a neutral state. When you got old enough, you would make a decision of whether or not you would sin. Romans 5:12 kind of teaches us that's not the case. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One man, Adam, opened the door for all mankind to be sinners. You've heard me say this, and probably others. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. It's our nature. My sin provides evidence that I am a sinner. Let's go to this verse, please, Ephesians 2. It's one you might need. You might need it sometime. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, 1 John 1:8. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Light and darkness, light and darkness. Paul writes here to the church at Ephesus, verse number 3 of Ephesians 2, where among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh. Here's what we did. Before we got saved, this is what we did. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind. All that we could do. Notice what it says, what Paul writes. And were by nature. We were born that way. We were born how? By the children of wrath, even as others. You see, it's important that we recognize that Adam could bring sin upon all of creation. In fact, the Bible talks about it a little bit more clearly in Romans 5. Let's go there for our last two verses tonight. The doctrine of Adam acting for mankind in his sinning is an important doctrine because it is tied to the fact that if one could make all a sinner, then another one, capital O-N-E, could make all men righteous. They tie right together. Look what it says in Romans 5, 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, that's Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Verse 19, I think, or maybe I already went to 19. So it's 15 and 19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Praise God for that. God provided me, God provided you, God provided every man from Adam. That would be all of us here tonight and everyone online. We are all from Adam. God provided all of us the way to come out of darkness. There's no darkness in God. So therefore, in Adam, I have no access to God. Because in Adam is darkness. But in God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He provided us a way to come out of darkness and live in his light. He is not only the source of light, he is the light. I am hopeless and helpless without God and Him sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to sacrificially die for me and shed His pure blood that my sins might be cleansed once and for all. So, light and darkness. You can't have, you won't have both together. I'm thankful tonight that I'm no longer in darkness. How about you? If you're still not sure, whether you're here or whether you're online, if you're still not sure if heaven is your home, I'm going to tell you, then you're in darkness. You don't have to live in darkness. You can come out of the light. You can come out of the darkness into His glorious light. You could be saved tonight, just like a young man got saved on Sunday night. Amen? From darkness to light. And then, once we get saved, now, every day we make a conscious decision. Am I going to walk in the light? Or am I going to walk in darkness? Don't go back to the darkness. There's no fun. There's no joy. There's no victory. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And guess what? Not only do we have a connection and a fellowship with Him that is vibrant and exciting, but then we have fellowship